This week's parsha, we have the tremendous chesed of Avraham Avinu. And I think it's important for us to have an opportunity today to talk a little bit about the idea of chesed and to remind ourselves of the obligation that we all have toward giving to others. So we have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Al shlosh dvarim ha'olam omed, ala Torah ve'al ha'avoda ve'al gemilas chesedim. That's a very important Mishnah. But by way of introduction to that Mishnah, let's get into the whole idea of what Gemilas Chasadim is all about. The Gemara says in Maseches Sota, Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, Darish Rav Simloi. If you look at the entirety of Torah, and you ask yourself, how would I try to figure out what is the underlying theme of Kol HaTorah Kula? What would you say that would be? I would assume it would be very hard for any of us to really come up with some kind of defining characteristic that binds all of Torah together. So the Gemara says, Torah Tchilasa Gemilas Chasadim, V'sofa Gemilas Chasadim, says the Gemara, the bookends of all of Torah, the theme, the objective of all of Torah can be found if you look at the very beginning, and then you look again at the very end. Tchilasa Gemilas Chasadim, how do we know the beginning of Torah is Gemilas Chasadim? Because we're told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, and then He provided Adam and Chava with clothing, Kasnos Arba Yalbi Shem, and then at the very end of Torah we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing a chesed again. What was the chesed at the end of Torah? That was Vayikbar Oso Bagai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu buries Moshe Rabbeinu, and He does not leave it to the Jewish people. I'm sure there were many loyal followers of Moshe Rabbeinu who would have been happy to do that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to do it Himself. Why? Because He thought it was important to be involved in chesed. And from here the Gemara says, you see that the bookends on both ends of Torah are both Gemilas Chasadim on the one hand, Gemilas Chasadim on the other hand, and that really is the underlying theme of Kol HaTorah Kula. This is why the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos Daf Ayin Tes that Shlosha Simanim Yesh Be'umazu. There are three recognizable traits and behaviors that you can find or are expected to be the signature characteristics of every Jew. What are those? Says the Gemara. Number one, Rachmanim. Number two, says the Gemara, Baishanim. Number three, Gomle Chasadim. We are expected to have a certain sense of rahmanas, of compassion, of sensitivity toward others. We're expected to be Baishanim a little bit, and we're expected to be Gomle Chasadim. And those are the three hallmark characteristics of what it means to be a Jew. That's what the Gemara tells us. So we have a fascinating Gemara here in Maseches Sota where we're told the following. Let's learn it together. Amar Rabchama Barab Chanina. Ma'i Dechsiv, what does it mean? Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu. What does it mean when the Torah says that we're supposed to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ask the Gemara, V'chi yefshelo la'adam lahalech achar ha-shechina. Can I actually be in such close proximity to the Shechina? V'halo kvar nemar, doesn't it say, ki Hashem elokecha esh ochlahu? Don't we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all-consuming? Ki lo yirani ha'adam b'chai, the Torah says. Nobody will come in such close proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and survive that experience. Answers the Gemara, what it means is lahalech achar midosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean to go in the ways of the Ribbono shel Olam? It means to follow in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to be physically in close proximity to Him. Mahu malbish arumim, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in making clothing for Adam HaRishon, afata halbish arumim, so too we should be involved in the same activity. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bikur Cholim, this week's Parsha, we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mevakar Chola to Avraham Avinu. So too, we should do the same and we should be Mevakar Chola. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nichem Avelim. How do we know? Dechsev, as it says, Vayihi Acharei Mos Avraham Vayivarach Elokim Es Yitzchak Beno. So too, we should be involved in Nichem Avelim. And finally, the Gemara says, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kovar Mesim, so too, we should be Kovar Mesim as well. Now, just as an aside, it's very interesting. We know that the Torah, when it tries to teach us something, does not repeat it unless there's a very specific and particular reason for doing so. Can someone just close the door, please? So unless there's a particular reason, there's no other way how to explain why it is that the Torah would repeat something. So here, we find something very interesting. The Torah says, Acharei Hashem Elokecha Teilech. Ask the Gemara, what does it mean? From here we learn, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kovar Mesim and Acham Avelim, just like He's Baal B'Sharumim, so too we should be involved in all those activities. Okay. You look in the Gemara Maseches Shabbos, and the Gemara learns from a pasuk Ze Keli Ve'Anvehu. So, in the simple level, it means Ze Keli Ve'Anvehu. This is my God, and I will praise Him. and I will elevate him. But the Gemara says it means anivuhu. It means I will emulate him. I will try to be like him. And the Gemara there seems to be teaching us the same lesson as this Gemara here. Acharei Hashem Elokecha Te'elechem. But there, the Gemara gives different examples. There, the Gemara says, Mahu Racham Lechanun. Afatar Racham Lechanun. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is caring, compassionate, and considerate, and understanding, and sensitive, so too we should be the same. So Rav Soloveitchik asked the question, why do you need two psukim to tell you the same thing? On the one hand, we have a pasuk Acharei Hashem Elokecha Te'elechem, which teaches us we should be nice to people, we should be mamash arumim, we should be kovar mesim. On the other hand, we have another pasuk which says, Zeh keli v'anveyu, from which we learn, we should be similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mahu racham lechanun. Rav Soloveitchik explained as follows. There are different types of people. He said some people love being involved. Right? You ever met a member of Hatzalah, member of the Chevra Kadisha, member of the volunteer committee who goes to visit the people in the hospital on Shabbos or the nursing home? They're all in. They're excited. They're doing it. They're into it. They get the volunteers. But not always do those people have a sense of compassion for the patient that's in front of them or for the person who needs them. They're involved. They're big doers. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's not enough to be kovar basim, menachem abedim, malbish arunim. You have to also be a racham lechanun. And on the other hand, you have people who sometimes are very compassionate and very caring, but they say to themselves, I feel very sad about the situation, but what am I going to do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, it's not enough to be a racham lechanun. You also have to go and do an action with the feelings that you have. You have to be Maldish Arunim, you have to be Mavakar Cholim, you have to be Kovar Mesim. And Rav Soloveitchik argued that this is why we have two different psukim, because it's addressing two different types of people. And the Torah is expecting of us to do both. Number one, to be out there doing, to be involved. But number two, while we do that, to also have a sense of understanding of what it is that we're doing, a sense of compassion, a sense of feeling for the person that's in front of us. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva, Yesh b'mitzvas haseh min ha-chamuros she'ein hamon ha'am nizharav mahem. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva that there are certain mitzvos in the 613 mitzvos that maybe we overlook, that maybe we neglect a little bit and we're not so careful about. For example, one of the examples he gives is Gemilas Chasadim. And in the context of his discussion about Gemilas Chasadim, he writes from a Gemara Masechah Sukkah, in the very last daf in Sukkah, the Gemara says if you were to compare Gemilas Chasadim to giving tzedakah, which one would be greater? Now you ask yourself, what's the difference? They're both important things to do. But the Gemara here compares the two of them. Says the Gemara, Gemilas Chasadim is greater than the mitzvah tzedakah. How so? Number one, tzedakah la'aniyim u'gemilas chasadim bein la'aniyim u'bein la'ashirim. There's one basic distinction, and that is, tzedakah is only for a person who doesn't have money. Gemilas chasadim, I can help somebody who has plenty of money, but they also need help. I remember, I think, Rabbi Willig once told me that the parasha of Shaduchim is like such a humbling experience. And you can live your whole life never needing anything from anybody, and then you come to Shaduchim and you see, I do need someone else's assistance. I'm not going to figure this out on my own. And obviously in many of our lives, there are many junctures where we have that, where we realize and we recognize that we're going to need the assistance of others. But he just felt in particular, when he was worrying about his own children's shidduchim, he said, you see how much you rely on other people in that parsha. But it's something that we realize, regardless of what kind of socioeconomic status you are a part of, you can do gemilas chasadim for other people. And that, says the Gemara, is why tzedakah in some way is less than Gemilas Chasadim. Al Kein Amru, and therefore they said, Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omed, Al HaTorah Ve'al Avodah Ve'al Gemilas Chasadim. Number two, Hatzdaka B'Mamono, U'Gemilas Chasadim B'Megufo U'Bein B'Mamono. When we talk about tzedakah, it's only relevant for a person who has money to give away. Rav Moshe Feinstein has an interesting tshuva, where somebody asked him, am I mechuyev to go get a job in order that I should be able to have enough money to give to tzedakah? As things are now, let's say I'm living off of a pension and I have just enough for what I need, and I have, you know, some kind of government insurance or whatever it is, I'm 70 years old, should I go get a part-time job in order that I should be able to give tzedakah? It's a very interesting question. And Rav Moshe Feinstein argued, no. The mitzvah tzedakah is, if you have extra money, then you give it away. There's no obligation on a person to go make money in order to give it away. It's if you find yourself in that situation, then you're supposed to give away a certain percentage. You're supposed to give away a certain amount. But on the other hand, the Gemara says here, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yonah writes, quoting a Gemara, that this is one of the marked distinctions between tzedakah and gemilas chasad. Tzedakah is something that's reserved for people who have money to give away. But not everybody has that privilege. Not everybody has extra money to give away. Therefore, it says the Gemara, gemilas chasadim is even greater, because gemilas chasadim is not only giving someone money who is in need, gemilas chasadim is giving of myself to another person. It's begufo. I have the ability to give of myself to another person, and that is something that is even greater than the mitzvah of tzedakah. Ki chayiv adam l'tzrach b'drishas tov la'amo, v'lishkod ba'amal nafsho al takanas chaveru im dalvi imashir. I have an obligation to look after other people and to try to assist them, whether they are rich or whether they are not. It doesn't make a difference where they come from or what their situation is. I have an obligation to help them. Vizos, now he writes, min hachamuros min haikarim hanedrashim min ha'adam. This is one of the most fundamental and primary expectations of a person. How do we know? Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Micha, Higidecha adam matov ma'hashem daresh mimcha. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want of us? Kiim asos mishpat ve'ahavas chesed. So says Rabbeinu Yonah that to focus on gemilas chasadim is something that is important for all of us. We do need to give time and attention to gemilas chasadim. There was a great Talmud Chacham by the name of Rabbi Elimelech Bluth. I don't know if any of you ever heard of him. He was a very, very close Talmud of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. And he spent, I think my father told me, 25 or 30 years literally driving Rabbi Moshe everywhere, sitting in his study, sitting in his shir, sitting in his office. Every single day, he was very, very close with him. And Rabbi Bluth, I became close with him because he used to be the posek for Chai Lifeline before he passed away. And I go in the summer to Camp Simcha, so I used to have to discuss certain shilas with him. He was never on the campus. I was on the campus, so I used to have to call him with certain things. So I became close with him. We had an opportunity to talk very often. So on one occasion, he told me the following. Rabbi Moshe has a very interesting tshuva where he writes, we're all familiar with the idea of Ma'aser Ksavim. Ma'aser Ksavim means I'm expected to give away a certain percentage of the money that I make to help other people. Now, that's a big halacha. Maybe we'll talk about it another time. What are the details of Ma'aser Ksavim? Not for now. Rav Moshe has a fascinating tshuva where he argues the following. The same way, says Rav Moshe, there's an obligation of Ma'aser Ksavim that I have to give away a certain portion of my money that I make. So too, he said, there's an obligation of Ma'aser Hazman that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me time every day. I have to give away a certain percentage of my time every day to help other people. That's what Moshe said. So he has a tshuva where he develops this theme. So Rabbi Bluth told me that this originally, before it was written in a tshuva, this originally started as Rabbi Moshe gave a drasha in Flatbush. He was invited by the Agudas Yisrael to speak to a group of Balabatim who were in Flatbush, and they wanted Rabbi Moshe to be the guest speaker at whatever event it was. So Rav Moshe got up and he shared this tremendous chiddush that he had, that not only is there Ma'aser Ksavim, there's also Ma'aser Hazman. Okay, so they got back in the car after the event. Rabbi Bluth drove him there and back. And when they were driving back, Rabbi Bluth turned to me and said, Rebbe, you know, I love you and I respect you, but I'm just curious. You were just talking to a room full of working people. So they're out in the workforce all day. They come home 7, 8 o'clock at night. What do you mean Ma'aser Hazman? Like it's not relevant for them. What are they supposed to do? They're out early in the morning, they come back at night. Like, what do you expect of them? So he said, Rav Moshe looked at him and he said, yeah, I know who I was talking to. But I was mekel because they were balabatim. So he said, what do you mean? He said, because they're out working all day, I told them all they need to do is 10% of their time has to be given to other people. But really, I believe, Rav Moshe said, 50% of your time every day has to be given to other people. So Rabbi Bluth said, he turned to me and he said, Nu, and what's with you? So Rav Moshe turned back and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be made on me that I give at least 50% of every single day for other people. Rav Moshe Feinstein. So Rabbi Bluth turned back to him and he said, no, but teaching Torah, giving shiurim, writing tshuvas, that doesn't count. That's like, that's learning. You know, that's not giving for others. That's like, that's what you're supposed to do. So he said, no. This is outside of my shiurim and my tshuvas that I write. I give 50% of every single day to other people. This is what Rabbi Bluth was told by Rav Moshe himself. And he said, he believed that Rav Moshe, because he gave so much of himself for Gemilas Chasadim, because he was so invested in other people, He said he feels Rav Moshe had a tremendous siyata d'shmaya. I mean, you see it in his tshuvas, that his tshuvas are just phenomenal. But what you don't know is, Rabbi Booth told me that Rav Moshe's tshuvas are printed the way he wrote them, no editing. He used to sit down, scribble a tshuva together, send it out to the person, and that was it. That's the way it's printed. And he believed that because Rav Moshe gave so much of himself to other people, anybody here have ever worked on a book? Have a parent who ever wrote a book? No? Nobody? You ever seen anybody who's worked on a book? English, Hebrew? Yeah? You know how many revisions and edits and volumes and different tries, and it takes forever. Rabbi Booth told me Rav Moshe, when he put out the Igros Moshe, it is what it is. And everything's perfect. And he believes that that was the siyata d'shmaya because of what Rav Moshe did with his time. He spent his time so carefully, and he gave so much of it to other people. And that's what the Navi says, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect of all of us? There's a difficult Gemara in Maseches Nedarim where we're told the following. The Gemara writes, Arba Chashuvim Kimeis. There are four categories of people who are in some way similar to a mace, to someone who's dead. Who are they? Writes the Gemara, an ani, someone who's poor, a mitzora, someone who has tzaras, a suma is someone who is blind, and the fourth is misha en lo banim, someone who is not blessed with children. Now, obviously, all four of these individuals have an extremely unfortunate reality in their lives. An ani, a poor person, misha en lo banim, a mitzora, and a suma. You know, obviously their lives are impaired. But what is the common thread? What is the common denominator? And why would we say they're chashuvim kemeis? Why would you go to the extreme and say they're considered as if in some way they are dead? What does that mean? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz has a beautiful piece to explain it where he writes in the Sichas Musar that perhaps the understanding is as follows. What does it mean that they are chashuvim kemeis? He says the tachlis of life, the whole objective of life is to be able to give to other people. What is the highest level of giving to other people? What is the biggest giver in the world? A parent to a child. There's no greater, more selfless act of giving than what a parent gives to a child. The child does not turn around and say thank you. The child does not turn around and always give nachas to the parent. Sometimes the child turns around and spits in the parent's face and does horrible things and hurts their parent, but the parent continues to give. Somebody who doesn't have the experience of raising their own child, of knowing what it means to give like that, is missing out on the essence, perhaps, of what life really can be. And says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that experience is shared by an ani. An ani has to worry about himself. He's unable to provide for others. He's always relying on other people to help him. And as a result of that, the ani is missing out on that experience of what it means to be a giver on that level. And the same goes, he says, for a mitzora. A mitzora is a person who's living by himself, michutz lamachane. He's not allowed to be with anyone. If you're secluded, if you're in isolation, you're unable to be a giver, because who are you going to give to? There's nobody else there. And finally, he says, a suma as well. As much as a suma is able to live life, in some way their ability to give is impaired. And therefore, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that is why we're told, Arba chashuvim kemeis, because they cannot, unfortunately, they are not given the opportunity to live life to its fullest. Because the essence of life is to be a giver. I actually mentioned to someone this week, they told me they have a simcha and they wanted to speak at the simcha, they didn't have anything to say, so I sent them something. Putting that offer out to any of you, if you ever need help, I'm happy to help you also. It's what I do for a living, so it's not a big deal. So I shared with them the following thought that I had. You know, when you read this week's Parsha, you contrast Avram Avinu and the story of Sodom. And the contrast couldn't be more stark. Avram Avinu goes to the extreme, to the other end of the world, to save this wild community of Rishayim. What's he doing? And he's negotiating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe there's this many tzaddikim, that many. What is that? How do you understand that? But that's Avraham Avinu. Contrast that with what we know about Sodom, and you'll say, Sodom is terrible. Okay, so we have a Mishnah. Mishnah says, what is Midas Sodom? Anybody know? What is the attitude of the people in Sodom? Correct, but say it a little more carefully. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Miyavid Varo. Sarasayim, correct. That's a general. They're stingy. But the Mishnah boils it down to a little bit more of a defined characteristic. Mishnah says, what is Midas Sodom? Shali Shali V'Shalach Shalach. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. That's Midas Sodom. So I ask you, when you read the parsha with Chumash and Rashi and whatever, you get the whole story of Sodom and they're cutting people's feet off and they're not letting anyone into the house. You're like, oh, these people are crazy, out of control, right? Wild. You read the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? What's the characteristic of Sodom? Shali shali v'shalach shalach. So what's so bad? What's so bad? What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. They're not going to you and saying what's yours is mine. They're just saying what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. What's the problem? So I think it gets a worse rap because it's in the same parsha as Avraham Avinu. And you look at both stories and you say, this is crazy. The contrast is too strong. When you look at it in its own little bubble and you say to yourself, so what actually is so bad? Shali shali v'shalach shalach is a pretty acceptable way of life. A democracy. I'll do my thing, you do your thing, we'll all respect each other and it's fine. And the answer is, that's an unacceptable way of life. For a Jew to live and say, shali shali v'shalach shalach is totally unacceptable. That's not life. Life is shali shali. Life is what's mine is yours. Not only what's yours is yours, but what's mine is also yours. I mentioned there's a minhag that when we bury a person, when we get them ready for kavura, so the Chevra Kadisha does all kinds of different things. They do a tahara, but as part of the process of tahara, the minhag is the Chevra Kadishas open up the hands of a deceased. And they're buried like this, with their hands all the way open. Anyone ever heard that? So what's that all about? What's the significance? Mefarshim explain, what it's about is as follows. When a child is born, a child is always born with their hands clenched, with their fists closed, tight fists. Because when someone is young, when you're a child and you're growing up, you're all about taking. You have no ability to give. You're unable to take care of yourself. You need to be completely reliant and dependent on other people to do everything for you. You can't even get your own food. Can't even clean yourself off. You need to be taken care of by an adult. The goal of the journey of life is to learn how to take those closed hands, and over time, a person should be successful in dying from this world with their hands open. That is what life is all about. That's who we are. That's what the journey is supposed to be all about. And that, says the Gemara, is what we mean when we say, I'm sorry, says Rabbi Yonah, that's what it means, that this is a fundamental underpinning of what life as a Jew needs to be all about, and it's something she'ein hamon ha'am nizharam bahem. In his words, we're careful about Shabbos and we're careful about kashrus and all kinds of different things. How many people are so careful to make sure that they do as much chesed as they possibly can? And that, says Rabbi Yonah, is something we should be aware of and it's something we should think about. I always mention, every year before the Yom Noraim, people come and they say, you know, they're looking for a skula, they call this makubal, they have this idea, all kinds of different things. My misora is from my rabbein, you look at the skulas of Chazal. There's no greater skula in the world than what we actually find in Chazal themselves. So what does Chazal say? Someone is going in for a major surgery and they're worried what's going to be. Somebody can't find the shidduch, they don't know what's going to be. Somebody's worried about all kinds of different areas of life. They don't have a parnasa. They want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help them find the parnasa. Let's look at what the Gemara says. Kala merachim ala brios, merachim im ala min hashamayim. Pretty straightforward formula. Kala merachim ala brios, merachim im ala min hashamayim. A person who knows how to be sensitive and caring and understanding of other people, who knows how to do chesed for them, who knows how to be generous toward them. Mirachamim alav min hashamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will mirror the same kind of behavior, which is what the Baal Shem Tov says, it's what it means. Hashem tzilcha al yad yimeinecha. So generally, that's translated to mean Hashem tzilcha means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our shade that protects us from the elements. But the Baal Shem Tov writes, it means something different. Hashem tzilcha means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your shadow. He's your tzil. And the same way in a shadow, when I wave my hand, the shadow also waves its hand. It does the same. Said the Baal Shem Tov, that's what it means. Hashem tzilcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will mirror your actions and your behaviors toward other people, and He will treat you the same. That is the greatest skula that we can ever find in Chazal, when somebody feels they need Rachmanis. To go to the extreme when it comes to chesed, when it comes to giving, when it comes to our time, and when it comes to understanding the needs of other people. Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz lived in the early 1700s, and he was one of the great, great gedolim in Europe. He was the Rav of Altoona, Hamburg, and Mainz in Prague. So he writes something that to me was such an eye-opening comment. I actually never thought about these words. You know, we say so many different phrases in Shemona Esrei, and we just take it as a given. I sometimes find when you have somebody, sometimes a young child, who starts davening for the first time, and they start very inquisitively asking all kinds of questions. What is this? What is that? Why do we stand up here? Why do we sit down there? And it makes you take a step back and ask yourself, I don't know. Why do we stand up there and sit down there? And what does this word actually mean? And why do we repeat it over here and over there? It's a good question. So, I only came across this because somebody once asked me, what does it mean when we end off the first bracha in Shemona Esrei? This was actually a balas tshuva in our shul. He said, I'm going through the Shemona Esrei, I'm trying to understand. What does it mean when we say Magen Avraham? What exactly is the intended outcome of that? Aruch Ata Hashem, you're the one who protected Avraham Avinu? Like, you've protected many millions of people since then. What was so unique about the protection that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought to Avraham Avinu, more so than anyone else? Anyone since? It's a great question. Never thought of it. So the Gemara says, the Avraham Chosman, we only end off the bracha with Avraham, we don't talk about Yitzchak Yaakov. Okay, but the bottom line, why do we talk about Avraham Avinu? What's the relevance? So I was trying to look around to find an answer, and it was a chesed that I came across this unbelievable shot from Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz. What does he say? Eich yoiz ish lomar magen Avraham. How is it possible, he says, how can you have the audacity in Shemona Esrei to end off the first bracha by saying magen Avraham? V'hu eino sam lev lalechas b'ikvosav. And in no way does your life mirror the life of Avraham Avinu. See, you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to look after me the same way you protected Avraham Avinu. I'm looking for that in my life. I want you to take care of me the same way you took care of Avraham Avinu. Sounds wonderful. Right? So, Yonasan Eibeshitz, are you living up to your end of the deal? Are you living a life that even some way parallels the life of Avraham Avinu? Are you making sure that in your life, you're going out of your way to do chesed like Avraham Avinu did? Lerachem kol nidach, to try to include all of those who are pushed aside. Lefakeach b'chol iskei koshel, to take responsibility for things that are going on. The kabel mashiyikrelo me Hashem be'ahava af tzarach lios navinad ba'aretz vayikreu tzaras rabbis kamoshakar la'avram. Are you living a life of Avraham Avinu? If you dedicate your efforts to Chesed, then you have a right to say and demand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu magen Avraham. The same way that you protected Avraham Avinu, I expect, I demand of you HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect me. But until you're prepared to do that. Right, Tzibianus and Eibeshitz, what right do you have to say Magen Avraham? And to me, this was just such an eye-opening comment. I actually never thought about the phrase at all. But it really gives a perspective, and it gets us thinking every day about what our responsibility actually is toward other people. The Shala HaKodesh, one of the great Mekubalim in Tzfat, he passed away in the early 1600s. He writes, Olam Chesed Yibane. Yizar Me'od, says the Shala, Shalo yehi shum yom yimei chaya b'li gemilas chasadim. B'gufo, b'mamono, b'nafsho, however you do it. But make sure a day doesn't go by when you don't do gemilas chasadim. Al-Kain, and therefore he says, b'chal yom v'yom yahadar acharei eze gemilas chasadim ve'az yisnai yimo HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'midas ha-chesed. He says we have to try to search to bring about a feeling of gemilas chasadim every day. However we do it, whether we do it with our money, or with our bodies, with our feelings, with our words, to be gomle chasadim. So Rav Asher Weiss once told me that he told all of his children, and he continues to tell them, when you go to sleep at night, you have to ask yourself one question. What's the one question you need to ask? I can think of a million questions to ask. He said the question that he asks his children every night is, did you make someone happy today? If the answer to that is no, you have to pledge to try harder tomorrow. If the answer to that is yes, you can go to sleep comfortably. That's what he told me many times. And I think it's a beautiful comment. It's a beautiful question to ask our family members. Did you make someone happy today? That says the Shalah HaKadosh is so much the objective of what it means to live the life of a Jew. Says the Chafetz Chaim, he writes in the Sefer Shem Ola, Ma'od tzarach lizahir, we have to be careful, shelo yechzer lo midas hachesed afilu yom echad mimei chayav. Kemo shetzarach isha yisraeli lizahir le'inin kviyas itim latorah b'chol yom. We have this idea, he says, of learning Torah every day, and we can never go a day without it. The same way we have that obligation, so too says the Chafetz Chaim, we have an obligation to make sure that we're involved in chesed every day. Because emet tzasi v'sefer sha'ar kedusha l'Rab Chaim Vital, Adam tzarach l'sonin b'chol yom v'leimar, a person has to look into themselves and say, oy li, shahalach hayom b'li Torah u'gemilas chesedim. So he says every day we have an obligation not only to learn Torah, but also to be engaged in gemilas chesedim. Go to the next paragraph. Without a Beis Hamikdash, he says, ba'avonoseinu harabim, kasher chaser lanu ata amud hashlishi shel ha'avoda me'es ha'churba. Our avoda, our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly lacking. Without a Beis Hamikdash, we are incomplete. We don't have the ability to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way we're supposed to. And he says, when we live at a time like this, v'lo nishar lanu kiyim, elu shnei amudim. The Mishnah says, ala Torah v'ala avoda gemilas chasadim. Avoda is compromised, bizman hazeh. We don't have the ability to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the profound way that we're supposed to. So he says, when all you're left with is Torah and Gemilas Chasadim from those three, Mechrachim Anu Lachaskam B'Yesus Eis, we have to do whatever we can to double our efforts in Torah and in Gemilas Chasadim. Uvazeh Yu Nimchalim Abanoseinu Kumo Shekasev, like the Pasuk says, B'Chesed Be'emes Yichup HaRavon. What is Chesed Be'emes? Chesed means doing Chesed, Emes means Torah. Why does it only say b'chesed ha'emes yichup ha'ravon? Because avoda nowadays is not as relevant as it once was. We don't have the ability to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way we would like to. So this is the suggestion of the Chafetz Chaim, and then he quotes the pasuk in Sefer Hosea where he says ki chesed chafatzti v'lo zevach. In some way HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what I want from you is your chesed v'lo zevach. The avoda doesn't bother me. Nowadays, there's no karbanos. What bothers me is that people are not focused enough on chesed. I remember I was once talking to somebody who was in Rabbanus for many, many years. It was before I started off in the Rabbanus, and I asked him, like, why do you do this? And he told me something which I'll never forget. He said, he thinks the Rabbanus is like a candy store of chesed. Such an amazing way to put it. There are certain opportunities we have in life. Someone's a doctor. Every second of your day, you're doing chesed for people. You're helping people. You have an opportunity to do that. It's such a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not every profession has that. But it's so noble that a person can have that kind of perspective, can live that kind of life. And it's something that all of us have the obligation to make sure we incorporate into our days, whatever it is that we're going to do. One of the great Talmidei Chacham Sofer was Rabbi Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer. Rabbi Yosef Nechemia has a sefer called Chidushei Rabbi Yosef Nechemia, not such an original name. And he makes an important point about this Mishnah. Let's learn it together. I think it's on the other side. Yeah. Let's learn it together. Everyone ready? Tzarech Adam Lechos B'chol Gimel Eilu Ke'echad. Mi She'ein Lo Ela Torah. Someone who only has Torah, Gam Torah Ein Lo. V'chein Avodah Lo Shava B'li Torah. Ki Lo Ama Aretz Chasad. Imagine you have a person who sits and learns Torah all day and never davens. What is that worth? You're not an Eved Hashem. You have to daven. You have to make that a part of your life as well. So you can't just accentuate one aspect of Jewish life and say, oh, I'm going to focus only on Torah and, oh, tefillah is not my thing. Torah, avodah, gemilas, chasadim, he says, are all important. Ki lo ha-ma'aretz chasid v'ein bur yirecheit u'gemilas chasadim li Torah v'avodah aleha ne'mar chesed la'amim chatas. Obviously, he says, that doing chesed without learning Torah is also insufficient. A person needs to make sure to look into all these. Amnam, he says, hagam shetzarach adam lechaz begimel elu, even though it's true that Torah, avodah, gemilas, chasadim are all integral parts of our lives, and without this, we cannot consider ourselves complete people. We're deficient. Mikal Makam, he says, the balance and the emphasis on each of these areas varies between people. So everybody has to be involved in Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasadim. Everyone needs to daven. Everyone needs to learn Torah. Everyone needs to do Chesed. How much chesed are you going to do as opposed to the Torah learning that you're going to do? How much davening are you going to focus on as opposed to learning Torah? That's up to the individual person to figure out what the balance, what the emphasis is. And he writes the following. It depends on my personality. Look, if you're not an outgoing person, you're going to go do Bikur Cholim, they're not going to appreciate your visit. You're going to have nothing to say. It's just going to be awkward. So maybe you're not the right person for the job. You'd be much better at being on the Chevra Kadisha. There's no one to talk to. But that's Chesed. Maybe if Chevra Kadisha is something that scares you, and it's not something you're comfortable with, then maybe your strong point is Tefillah. Maybe Avodah is for you. Yesh Tadik Be'Eved Hashem Shem Kol Zrizasu Yishmu Kol Gimel Chalkei Torah Kedoshah B'Chol Zos Iker Kofa Hu Ba'Avodah Hu B'Tefillah. So he says, the same way you have a whole body that works, but you have a righty and a lefty, most of us are not ambidextrous. Most of us don't have the ability to equally use both of our arms in the same way. So we have one side of the body that's stronger. What would we do if we were born without one arm? We would certainly be very deficient, very compromised. We could live life, we could be okay. But there's clearly going to be something very lacking of our lives if we don't have that limb, we don't have that organ. And therefore he says the same thing is here. While it's true that part of the organism of the Jewish people is Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasadim, we need to realize that there are righties and lefties. Both of them are equally okay. But you have to decide, what's your strong point? Which one of these is going to be the point that you're going to focus on, that's going to be your thing? Is it going to be Torah, Avodah, or Gemilas, Chasadim? What are you going to excel at? Rav Shimshon Pinkus has a beautiful discussion where he writes about the difference between what he refers to as a real life, lived as a real Jew, doing real things, or living what he refers to as a synthetic life. Chayim Synthetiyim. So what does that mean? What's a synthetic life? Let's see. Anu Chayim, he says, we live vidar in a generation shebo yesh dvarim yafim me'od bitzura synthetic. We live in a generation where you have synthetic material that can basically create anything. Hayom, today, ha'olam ha'maderni chozer al ha'teva. Ach ha'kol nasa b'tzura synthetic. Everything in our world is synthetic. Hamada hera, science has shown, she'efshar li'yatzer kol davar b'tzura synthetic, that you can create and manufacture anything synthetically. You can create flavors. Right? Anyone seen Pop Sanity? It's just a five-town thing? Popcorn, yeah. Right? So they take popcorn and they make it the craziest flavors. Right? What's it called? The little jelly beans? I'm forgetting what it's called. Jelly bellies, right? How could it be that it tastes like an apple? It actually does, like a sour apple. It happened to be that it tastes like a this or a that. Everything's synthetic. We can create anything. It's the world we live in. And he says, Anuroim Aron Yafeh, you see a beautiful cabinet. In Kol Hatzvayim Ha'gvanim Shel Eitz, it looks like it's real wood. Avozelo Eitz Ela Formica. This is plastic. And it looks like wood, feels like wood, but it's not. Efshar Liyatzer Ochel Synthetic. You can make flavors and textures of food all synthetically. Hakol. Adayin L'Ra'inu Adam Synthetic. We haven't yet seen a synthetic person. Ach gam lezen agia, we'll get there someday. V'keitzad nitan lahavchin bein dvarim amitim le dvarim synthetic. How is one supposed to tell the difference between that which is real and that which is synthetic? That's the question that he poses. When we're living in a world where there's so much fake, how do you tell the difference between that which is fake and that which is real? In the Mashal, he says, let's take an example. If we see an apple, Vana rotzim livchon imhu amiti, and you want to see, is this a real apple or is it just a flavored piece of something else? Yeshna efsharas lakachas es hagarinim shelo v'lishtolo sam ba'adama. You can take the pits out, plant them into the ground, see what happens. If it's synthetic, then it's not going to grow. Ein lo peiros uvlados, ein lo hamshechios. It won't have a future. It won't be able to perpetuate and have more apples. Imhu amiti v'tivi, if it's real, if it's a real apple, lo rakshu tapuach elhu yachal lahotzi eitz tapuchim. Not only is this an apple, but it can also grow other apples from it as well. Umata shalem shel tapuchim. So that, excuse me, that he says is one way to tell the difference between something synthetic and something real. However, he says, yeshna efsharas acheras ktsara yoser. How long is it going to take you to figure out whether the apple is real? You're going to take out the pits, plant it into the ground. How many years are you going to have to wait? So it doesn't grow the first year, the second, third, fourth. How many years are you going to have to wait to see whether this is real? By that time, you forgot about it already. It says, Shimshon Pinkas, I have another way to know whether the apple is real or it's fake. Adam shiocha satapuchim halalu, tapuach v'od tapuach, taimam nifla mahane. Imagine you love apples, and you take one and another, and each one is delicious and it's enjoyable. Ki yesh lahem tam v'reach shel tapuach. It tastes like an apple, it smells like an apple, it looks like one. Ach pisom la'achar yomayim v'lo yoser. If this is all you're going to eat for the next week, at some point, you're going to have a major imbalance in your body. You're getting no nutrition, because there's no nutrition in the synthetic material. Imochlem b'meshach shavua rach ochel synthetic. If all you're going to eat is synthetic material for an entire week or a month, you're going to end up in the hospital. Harofa yishal ma'ata ochel. The doctor is going to ask you, so what do you eat every day? Let me hear about your diet. You're going to say, I eat bread with butter. Riva bananas tapuchim. I eat everything. And the doctor's scratching his head trying to figure out, why are you so malnourished? Why is there such a chemical imbalance in your body? The answer is because you're not eating anything. You're eating junk that tastes like something. And you have no nutritional value in any of the foods that you're consuming. Next paragraph. V'kan anu magiyim l'musag chashub biyoser sha'aleinu ladaso sova lachshov alav kayehudim. And with that, he brings us into an understanding of what a synthetic or real life in Judaism means. Aleinu ladasu lahamin, we need to understand and believe, shekefi sheyesh begashmias ochel synthetic, just like in the world of gashmi we have a real apple and a fake apple, we have real meat and we have fake meat. Yesh bo tam v'reach shel tapuach, ach hu lo nosen koach lo brias v'lo chias la'adam. It can taste like an apple, but if you eat Jelly Belly's apple flavor your whole life, you'll be sick. You won't get any nutritional value. Kach biyadus. So too it is with Judaism, he says. There are some Jews who are living a synthetic life. Adam yachalino ki Yehudi b'meshach shivim shana. You can live like a Jew for 70 years. L'kayim es kol mitzvos haTorah uv'midim usuyemes hayadus shalo hi legamri synthetic. Ein lo neshama shetechayu osa. You can live life for 70 years. Doing what seems to be what a good Jew is supposed to do. And it turns out that you're just living one big synthetic lifestyle. Chazal Omrim, al shlosh advarim ha'olam omed. What gives you nutritional value in Judaism? Al ha-Torah ba'al avodah ba'al gemilas chasod. Shloshes mitzvos elu heim ha-neshama shel ha-yadus bechlal. If you don't have Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasadim, which are the heart, the center, and the axis, the foundation, the core, and the essence of everything that Yiddishkeit is about, then you're unhealthy. Then you're that person who lives all of life with synthetic items going into their system. Are you able to have popcorn every so often? Yeah, of course you can. Is it going to hurt you? No. But if your whole diet is just that, If your whole diet is just the apple-flavored jelly bellies, you're not going to be healthy. Yehudi yachal linfo ki Yehudi lechal matzah l'shmat ki ha-shofar l'kaimas kol mitzvos ha-Torah im hu einu lomei Torah chai yahadus synthetic. If you don't learn Torah, you don't get it. You're not living real Jewish life. Period. It doesn't matter how much matzah you ate, how many times you went to hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, how much time you spend davening in shul, how many thank you Hashem concerts you jumped up and down about, and how many bumper stickers you put on the back of your car. You're not living a Jewish life. That's called a synthetic life. It's nothing. Because you're missing the core and the essence of what a real, nutritious Jewish life is about. Yadus lelo limud haTorah hi yadus lelo neshama. To live life without davening, you say davening is not my thing, that's living life without a neshama. What is that? What kind of life is that? To live life without the opportunity to daven is not living. Without these three things, you are living a synthetic life. You're lacking, you're devoid, you're hollow. And everything else that you do is not going to round out the picture of all that you're missing. And that's why he says, the Mishnah says, Ala Torah v'ala avoda gemilas chasadim is not just three nice things to do. This is the essence of what a Jewish life needs to be all about. I'll close with one comment and then we'll finish. One of the Svarim write, you know, in Chumash we find every so often that when you have a hey at the beginning of the word, it's referred to as a hey ha'idia, something special about what's being mentioned. So here, if you look in the Mishnah on the top of the page, it says, in the header, al ha-Torah, the al ha-avoda, the al gemilas chasad. So what's noticeably absent? When we refer to Torah, we say, the Torah. When we refer to avoda, to davening, to tefillah, to connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say, the avoda. When it comes to gemilas chasad, gemilas chasadim. What about ha-gemilas chasadim? What's the difference? So the answer is as follows. Somebody from California once bought me a set of Svarim by Reb Tzvi Hirschfarber. Most people never heard of this person. He was a great Talmud Chacham who had a yeshiva in London. And he has very interesting Svarim where he has Biuri, Hatfila, different kinds of things. So one of the things that I saw in that Sefer is as follows. What is the difference between Torah Avoda on the one hand and Gemilas Chasadim? Torah, he says, there are many, and there have been many attempts throughout the many generations of Jewish life to sell all kinds of versions of Judaism that are not authentic, that are not accurate. And the Mishnah here says it's important to learn Torah, but it has to be HaTorah. It has to be the Torah that's based on a Mesorah, a Torah that's based on Chazal, the Torah that's based on tradition, the Torah, the authentic Torah. You fall in and you study the other Torah from other parts of our community, you've got nothing. That's not a foundation of life. It has to be HaTorah. What about Avodah? If you don't daven with sincerity, just the fact that you say the words, it's not going to do it. It has to be the Avodah. It has to be the way Avodah is supposed to be done. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want of my tefillah? What is it that I'm supposed to accomplish? And that's why it says HaTorah, Ba'al HaAvodah. When it comes to Gemilas Chasadim, he argues, there's no way to do Gemilas Chasadim in a way that's substandard. Did you do it to the highest level? Maybe not. But did you help another person? Bottom line, did you help another person? Yes. That's Gemilas Chasadim. So whatever act that I do to contribute to other people's lives is already considered significant. And that is why the Mishnah says, be encouraged. Offering Gemilas Chasadim in our lives doesn't have to be to the extreme of HaTorah v'HaAvodah. Can even be just the simplest act of Gemilas Chasadim. The Gemara talks about Kalalovin Shinayim L'Chaveiro. The Gemara says tremendous praise for a person who's willing to smile at someone else when they walk by on the street. How hard is that for us to do? It's pretty easy. Say good morning, say a kind word, smile at them. Why do you get so much reward? Because it can lift another person. The simplest act that we do can be the greatest act of Gemilas Chasadim for somebody else. And that, as we read the story of Avraham Avinu in this week's parsha, we have an opportunity to remind ourselves that when we say every day in our Shemona Esrei, Magen Avraham, what we're trying to evoke in our own emotion is, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the one who is going to protect us, who's going to look after us, who will make sure that we are okay. But in turn, says Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz, we have to look internally and ask ourselves, are we prepared with pride to look at our lives and examine it and ask ourselves, am I ready to pledge to live a life like Avraham Avinu as well? A life that is dedicated to chesed, a life that is dedicated to giving to others. And as the Chafetz Chaim and others said, one should never go by a full day without Talmud Torah, and so too one should make sure to never go by a full day without Gemilas Chasadim either, because these are two of the three pillars that are so important, that are so integral to what it means to live the life of a Jew. So